Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are happy to be joined by our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, from New Orleans, with his fancy Super Bowl hat on and the festivities down there. Now, Dan, is this your first foray? Like, what is your experience with New Orleans Super Bowls?
Other than watching the last one where the lights went out, I've never worked a Super Bowl here. Chiefs or otherwise, obviously, but Chiefs did play here in Tulane in Super Bowl IV before my time. Interestingly, though, they are tied with South Florida for the most Super Bowls, and it's not a close second.
No.
South Florida and New Orleans have 11, and the next guy has like 5, I think, which is, it's just an interesting city to do it in. The nice thing about it is it's a very small footprint. I think you can't walk from one venue to another in excess of 20 minutes. So that part's nice, but security is just, it's really tough. We're literally, the Chiefs are staying in the French Quarter, and there's just people everywhere, man. People in cars. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like just with the atmosphere, and we know like with every Super Bowl, you've got, you know, just this crazy circus atmosphere. And I'm sure that in a area where the footprint is so small, that circus and that atmosphere is even, you know, heightened. I know that last night was all the kickoff ceremonies and everything for opening night down in New Orleans. Where do you see the preparations at right now for the team?
You know, most of the prep for the game itself took place last week. They do all the install. They do all the real heavy lifting for the Super Bowl itself. So this week they do practice every day, and they'll walk through. They'll do some run throughs. They'll tweak things. You know, they'll just it's like an extra week of rehearsing the game plan that was put in last week. Something you don't normally usually get, but. You know, they'll do some, you know, maintenance lifting, no real intense workout stuff this week. The demands of this week on players and coaches is unreal. There's nothing like it. I mean, the schedule is every half an hour something else is happening. And then you have so much immediate tension. Like last night, the Chiefs went on second. It was 8:45 before they even went on the stage. And so they get home probably after their bus back home. They're probably here about 11 o'clock and, you know, curfew's at midnight. So there's just not a lot of time for them to move around. It's a very unusual schedule that you only see at the Super Bowl. And that's what makes it so hard not to succumb to the spectacle of it, you know, to get overwhelmed with the game. If you haven't been here before and you don't know what to expect, it's a little overwhelming.
Well, and they've been there. Both these teams have been there, though.
They're just
there a couple of years ago. So
most of the players.
Correct. I've sort of contended like this will kind of be all about the business of this football game, which will be great for the, you know, for the rest of us because they're really locked in. Mm-hmm. I think both teams, Dan, could attack this game about 100 different ways. It's part of what makes these teams so good. They're both good on offense. They're both good on defense, and they're both versatile on both of those, you know, levels. So what mm-hmm. do you think the Chiefs are hoping to achieve offensively and defensively in this Super Bowl?
Well, I'll tell you, if I could is speak a little about the Eagles first, because I really do think they're a good team. I think if you look at the last four Super Bowls, you know, you got to throw Tampa Bay out there a little bit just with the injuries to the tackles. It was just too much to overcome. But the other four Super Bowls this one will include, this is a very good team. It may be the best team we've played yet. And I think one of the things the Eagles have been living off of is explosive plays. Saquon Barkley has like seven carries of 60 yards or more. I mean, it's going to be a tough haul for the Chiefs defense. So I really think from a defensive standpoint, man, the Chiefs defensive line, the Chiefs linebackers are going to have to figure out a way. If bend and don't break ever applied, it would be this week against Saquon Barkley. Because if you can keep him from scoring or you just keep those explosive plays from happening, I really, really feel like the Chiefs, you know, if you said to me, Jacob, if you asked me if Chiefs hold Saquon Barkley to 100 yards, did they win? I would say yes. They would. You can't let him get 160 or 70 yards, which he can do. So I think that's the first aspect of all of this. The other thing the Eagles are really good at is giveaway takeaway. So, you know, ball security, always important, but in games like this, it could be a difference maker.
You know what I find really interesting on the Saquon Barkley point, Dan, is that we know how good this season the Chiefs have been in stopping the run. A lot of teams, when they are deploying their running game, it's a ball control type thing. They want to keep the ball. They want to keep possession. They want to run the clock. They want to do all those different things. And even though Saquon Barkley has been so incredible, that's not the way that the Eagles deploy their run game. Like it is the explosive play in the same kind of way that we see a lot of teams passing the football. That's how they use Saquon. I mean, like even going back to the NFC Championship game, I mean, he was like one play into the end zone to kick off that game. That's the way that they utilize it. So how do you think with the way that the Chiefs run defense has been so successful in stopping lead backs, are they going to have to change the way they approach Saquon Barkley, knowing that it's a little bit of a different mentality that the Eagles have?
Yeah, and to your point, you know, the Eagles have had 45 sacks on Hurts. How is that for a running team?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just goes to show that you're getting chunk yards. You're not doing this 3, 4, 5 yards at a time. I think the biggest thing for the Chiefs defense is going to be to really have that lane integrity, you know, you just can't get caught. You cannot let an Eagles offensive lineman push you into a spot that you shouldn't be in. And I know that sounds overly simplistic, but engaging, you know, a lot of times a defensive line or a linebacker, their biggest mistake is getting engaged early with the offensive line. You can't do that with the Eagles because Saquon Barkley is so good at reading. You've got to just kind of be patient and then wait for him to make his move and then make yours and hope you're fast enough to get him because he's a quick guy. That would be my take on it. I'd love to actually ask that to Steve Spagnuolo because I think it's a great question.
Well, their corners are better tacklers than, you know, than what we've seen the Eagles play. I think the Eagles are going to have to beat them through the air, probably. Jalen Hurts running the ball, Dan, is what worries me. Like, he looked healthy in the Washington game. I think that's going to be the challenge. You know, if we go all the way back with the Chiefs, running quarterbacks and tight ends can hurt them, and the Eagles have a running quarterback with a tight end that's going well right now. I think you just kind of have to hope and count on everybody doing their job, and then what do you do to stop that? Because I envision like Jalen Hurts long run plays is what could really get the Chiefs in some trouble in this game defensively.
Yeah, you know, and he hasn't done that as much this season as he has prior, but, you know, he had that
it was
a banged up knee, and that's healed. And so, and you got to expect on this stage where it all matters, you know, they're going to do everything they can. There's no next week to play for. You can recover in the month of March, April, May, and June. So I feel like you're right. That'll be a factor. And their tight end's really good, man. You know, it's just hard to – they're a very good team. They're a very well-rounded team. I think you got to spy Hurts to some level. You got to have a guy who says, all right, Barkley's gone left. I've got to stay over here and kind of watch, you know, Hurts. And then they just have to – I don't really think the Eagles – I don't know if they could beat us through the air or not, if that's all it is. It has to be a combination of those explosive plays and you know, some air movement. But, again, they give it up 45 sacks. I mean, that's a lot, man. So if they can get pressure on Hurts, hopefully contain him somewhat, the Chiefs can do this. The Chiefs defense is good enough to win this game. I just think it's going to come down to one of those who made the fewest mistakes.
I always like getting your insight, Dan, on the mindset of some players coming into games. And I think for me, at least leading up to the Super Bowl, there's one player that continues to come into mind, and that's DeAndre Hopkins. And I know that he's talked in opening night and even leading up to what this means for him being able to play in his first Super Bowl. And this is a guy that, you know, is a future Hall of Famer and has done so many amazing things in his career, but he can get a ring with the Kansas City Chiefs. What have you seen as far as his mindset and his energy heading into this game?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, in the Texans game, it broke his streak of consecutive catches, and he didn't get any catches at all, and he targets at all, if I remember right. And so there was a concern of mine how he would handle that. A guy who's used to being the lead, he's used to being the number one guy, you know, and now he's not even an active player in a playoff game. But he was so focused, man. And these guys, you know, it just didn't get to him. It's the process. It's the way. And he is bought into this Chiefs, you know, locker room. And I really love that because he's been such a good leader with that. It was interesting though. Last night, if you watch the first 15 minutes of the guys coming up on stage, all the guys that had not been there, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, all had smiles you couldn't wipe off their faces. You know, it's like these guys, look at Hopkins, has been in the league for over a decade, and he's just now getting to taste that and experience that. That's a really cool thing. And there's a number of guys. Samaje Perine is another one. I just think it's amazing what these guys have kind of endured in their careers, and now they finally get to see this.
So on the offensive side then, Dan Israel, executive producer of Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider here in New Orleans, on the offensive side, the Chiefs can kind of just do what they've been doing, right? Trust the line enough to let Mahomes read it. But it feels like, again, ball control through a short passing game. I don't know that I like see Kareem Hunt with 20 carries or anything like that in this game. I think you put the ball in Mahomes' hands, and now with all his weapons, you just sort of let them go. Of course, the Eagles do bring that pressure up the middle, which is always a challenge for any quarterback. But don't you start there if you're Kansas City?
I think so. You know, I don't want to see you dance with the one that brung you, because that's not the way Coach Reed kind of runs the offense. He's always tweaking, like, you know, we had Juju Smith-Schuster as a stud in the AFC Championship game. So I think you'll see something special, whether that's, I don't think it'll be too crazy. I don't think you see Carson Steele out there running the ball up and down the field. But, you know, you're going to see probably some kind of modified Kareem Hunt, Pacheco, Samaje, kind of, you know, role playing there between that committee. And then, you know, who'll come out? I mean, I'd love to see Hopkins really be the guy. You know, Hopkins and Hollywood.
Makes sense.
It would be fun, and it would be a storyline, you know, for us in the media. That's we look for those things. But, you know, I fully expect Worthy will play a factor in this too, just like he always does. I just don't think it'll be – you won't see a completely new Chiefs offense, but there'll be some kind of wrinkle in there. You go, oh, I'll never forget the last time we played the Eagles. Coach had identified that – two players, when they transitioned from it was a cornerback and a safety, and when they transitioned a wide receiver between them, they would look physically turn their heads and look at each other. And so the play was for us, when they looked at each other, to turn our receiver around. You know, as soon as they went, and then when they looked back, he was gone. And it was like, that's genius. That's just genius. So he's going to find those kinds of things, and he's going to exploit those. And that one, we got Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney for two touchdowns each on that same play. So I feel like, you know, those wrinkles that'll be in there will be really significant, and they may save him till the third quarter. I mean, that's the way they kind of play these things. And I just think one thing this, you know, I always feel like you never know at the Super Bowl when the AFC plays the NFC, you know, they really match up. And I feel like this is going to be an exciting one, man.
You mentioned a moment ago storylines that the media loves to talk about. Opening night festivities last night, Travis Kelce says he has no plans to retire. And that's, I think, a little surprising just with the narrative that's been built, you know, over not even this year, but even the last couple of years. Were you surprised to hear that from him that, it, you know, sounds like he said that in the next 3 years?
With that veracity.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was veracity, a little bit surprised.
I would have
that.
Expected more like, hey, look, I need to get to the off season, but I don't want to retire. I mean, yeah. I don't feel like retiring yet. I thought it was interesting. Somebody said behind the scenes, you know, well, I thought he was going to propose to Taylor Swift. Is like, what do those two things have to do with one another? You know, everybody's written this narrative, and it's got to flow just the way the script is. But yeah, you know, and you look the way he played this year, and you almost have to say he slowed down, but he was still effective in a lot of ways.
He was. They didn't have anybody. Like what was he supposed to do? Like,
but hey, he made that catch in the divisional round, and he had that wide open space in front of him. And man, he was, to quote Chris Berman, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Like he's not as quick as he was.
No, that the whole, you know, catch it and go the other direction is starting to get to him. He slips out or he does. But here's the thing. He's such a savvy player and clutch player. You know, he reads defenses so well. And when you just absolutely have to have, he's your go-to guy. And I don't see that changing. And look, if they win, you think he's going to not? He's going to want to write a fourth one in the books. You know it. It's the goal of every season. I know people think that's cocky, but it's the goal of every season to win a Super Bowl. No team goes into a season and says, "Yeah, we won it last year. Let's give someone else a try." You know, no. Every year they're trying to win a Super Bowl. So if they win it, I just think you'll hear it from the stage.
Well, look, I mean, I think you made it pretty clear last night. I don't think you're that emphatic. I think there's this narrative that he doesn't have it anymore. Yes, he does. He's still really good. Is it different than it was 2 years ago? Maybe. But, you know, there's circumstances to every season. If he still loves it that much, he can make the Chiefs better. You know, I think that's really interesting. The other thing, and we can give you a 1 minute monologue here, Dan. The other thing he said that I thought was funny, he was asked an opportunity to ask the media, and he asked, why are you leaning into the ref thing? What does Dan Israel think of the ref thing?
Oh, boy, I tell you, it got so tired. And some of the big names that were leaning into it, it was like, what are you thinking? The Chiefs are the third most penalized team in the league. And I know even how the empirical evidence so doesn't support this. Plus, I just don't think people have an understanding of just what the league is like. You could not have a conspiracy like this without somebody leaking something, you know. But nevertheless, I've been telling people, hey, I just send my $25 in each week and hope it goes to good.
Hey, there you go. And look, just if you could just, that's why we have you here. This year is to let us know what, you know, what's the script, what can we expect in the Super Bowl. Makes us all look smarter, so we appreciate it. Dan, I know you guys have so much coming up on the network. It's going to be a blast. We'll have pre and post game coverage of it. Enjoy another one. History on the line. I think this is going to be an incredible football game. I got the same energy to me as that Bills Chiefs game did in the AFC Championship. This should be a blast on Sunday.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we're hoping for a great broadcast. We're going on. We're hoping to get Tom Brady on. I think it's a very, very low percentage just because, you know, the demands of his time are intense. But we put in an ask pretty long ago. So hoping to find that out this week. But I agree with you. The game itself, I think, is going to be an exciting game. I think, you know, one thing, whether you become a Chiefs fan or you've bought into the Chiefs, you're tired of them already, you know. they're entertaining, man. I mean, it's good football. It's quality football, and it's entertaining. And I don't know what more you can want from some of these national games. I mean, the AFC Championship game was the second highest watched game ever. And that kind of stuff goes to show it's good football.
Dan, enjoy the ride. We appreciate it.
You got it. Go Chiefs.
By the way, Travis Kelce, fifth in the league in receiving yards this year, three catches shy of 100. Give me a break. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily right after this.